So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we know it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by the Spirit of God. You know, we carry on with this Bible study, and as we continue, the past 2 days we've been looking at the Christian family and the marriage, God's way, and trying to just see what God, you know, desires of us to stand. And you know, as just maybe I rush this part of, you know, how we work and slaves obeying your earthly masters with respect and fear and sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. And this is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. And obey them not to win, only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you're serving the Lord and not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they be slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. You know, the thing is, when you think about how God addresses every aspect of life, and he's handled the family, he's handled the interactions between husband and wife, and the principles are set, then he comes in and handles children. But then he also goes in and handles the aspects of work. And for me, I look at these aspects of slaves and earthly masters, not really in terms of you being a slave or you, you know, being under control of someone, but just thinking about the principles of how we serve those that God has placed above us, those that are superiors, be it in the workplace, be it in the office, be it in the jobs that we've been given. And you can see there are guiding principles that God offers. And he starts to speak of how, you know, we need to work with respect and fear, you know, and sincerity of heart. And really, it's really about that aspect of diligence and stewardship. You know, when you're given a task to do, when you have a responsibility, an office, work to do, how do we address the things or the work that God has given us? You know, there are many people who do what we call eye service. So it's only when the eye of, you know, the superior is on them that they are able to work, or they are able to shine, or they are able to you know, to just do certain things to be noticed. And you know, it's because the focus is often, you know, promotion is often to get the reward of the master. But you see, when the cat is away, they say the mice will play. But the purpose and the principles of God that are guiding is that there is a way that you must look at how you do your work. And this is the place where you understand that you have someone that is superior even to your employer. You know, as you obey him, you obey him as if you're obeying Christ. Now, this does not mean that you follow when it is against the principles of Christ. And that is why we keep saying that there is a guiding principle as of Christ. When it speaks of in marriage, is as of Christ. When it speaks of children, in the Lord, you know. So there is that principle that it is according to the principles of Christ, according to the oracles of Christ, according as if we're doing it just unto the Lord. You know, when we seek out to do certain things, to achieve certain tasks, then there is that principle that we must know that we are doing it for the Lord. And anyone who works as if they're not working for their organization, they're not working for their, you know, their business or their marketplace, but as long as they know that this, they're doing it as unto God or as unto Christ, then they shall receive the reward of God. And you know, when you follow the principles, when you follow the laws of Christ, the laws of Christ are superior to even the laws of man. Then it is not, you will not find yourself in trouble, you know, by the systems of men, because you have been following the law of Christ, you know. And I was just listening to a clip of where this gentleman, the gentleman who money got stolen in the bank, you know, and he was accused. And then when they showed him the records, then he just clearly said that, oh, okay, even if I was the one to do it, I will not do it this way because this person made this mistake, this one. And then they were like, yes, in fact, you are the one who must have done it, you know, because you are very, you know, intelligent. So he looked at it, then he said, okay, I'm not going to argue, but give me 30 minutes. And I'm going to pray, and when I come back, you will know who stole the money. And so he goes to a room, and he starts to pray. And God shows him that day. God shows him days before that day. Then God shows him that on that day, he was actually out for a training. He was not in the bank. And then he's able to he also asks God who it is, and God shows him who it is. And then when he comes back, he tells them, this is their process, this is what happened. And they understand, oh, so you're not even around, you know. But then they ask him, so who did it? And he does not say it because the Holy Spirit prompts him. But then he tells them, before the end of the day, you shall do it. And when he just moves out of the building, of the room where they are, he meets the young man who God had showed him this was the person. And he tells him, why did you steal this old man's, you know, these cases in banks where they steal money from accounts of people who died and things like that. And then the man just started crying and confessing. Then the people were coming to see the commotion. Then he told those guys who were interviewing him that you have your person, you see, because the person has confessed. So there are things that, you know, when you follow the rules of God, you will not fall under the traps of man. Because the traps of man or the punishments of man come to lawbreakers. But when you keep the laws of God, then you will not find yourself falling under that you've broken the laws of man. So the laws of Christ are superior. And any time we stick by them in our workplace, we stick by them in how we do our relationships, then you'll find that you have not broken any laws of man. But of course, there are laws of men that are in contradiction to Christ. And those ones, when we break them, then we know that we are submitting to a higher law. So if as long as you're being asked, to do certain things that are illegal, then you know that is not the way. And just to add even another story, it's about, it's one of the books I was reading. And this gentleman used to work for a big company. What would happen is that in every employment, whenever they will do recruitment, he was responsible for the spiritual side because they knew him as a pastor and just to tell the character of the person. And so when someone is hired, I mean, is not really hired, during the interview, one of the questions that they will ask is that, okay, we've not been paying certain taxes, and yet you found this out, and we want you to continue in the same way. Now, are you ready to continue in the same way, or will you report us and something like that? And many people will start that, yeah, we will report you. I will report and that. And then later on they say, okay, if that's the case, then we are not going to give you the job. Then you'll find that many will start to say, well, okay, you know, if this has been happening in the past, then okay, then the organization knows it. And I mean, they can keep at it and I will just continue. And yet this, maybe people who have started the interview saying they are believers and they're Christians. But you see, in the midst of that pressure, in the midst of that desire for that job and that desperation, they say that. Then when they leave the room, the rest of the panel who are not Christians, they will start laughing at the pastor and they will start telling him, you see, you're Christians. They are not ready even to bow. They bow down to a little pressure and they're not even able to stay for integrity. So you can see at the end of the day, then they lose the job. Why? Because they are not able to stand for the laws of Christ. So whenever we face pressure, whenever, you know, things come upon us, do we stick with the laws of Christ or do we go to the laws of men, you know? And any time you stick with the laws of Christ, you will not be found lacking and you will not be found under breaking the laws of men. So in how we work is a principle. And when you know that God is your employer, not your organization, not your job, then you know that God is the source. And whether it's an organization, whether it's a place of work, you know that that is a resource. So resources may change in that the way where we work or different organizations that we work with might change, but we know overally that the source does not change. It all came from Him. And if God was able to provide in the first place, then He's not limited. So if God is always the one that you work for, then you can confidently live a life saying that, you know what, my life, God is my source. God is my employer. God is the one that is superior to my boss. God is the one that I obey. And since He has spoken that I obey the earthly masters, I treat them with respect and sincerity of heart as unto the Lord, then I am able to do. Even when you employ yourself, you know, it says, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. You know, he that is faithful in another man's work can be trusted with their own. So faithfulness starts in another man's work. There is no one who is given their own work when they have not been faithful in another man's work. Faithfulness is something that grows because God does not use, you know, untested people. As you are faithful, then the tests come. And when you pass the tests, then you move on into promotion. So it is very important that we understand how God calls us to work, how God calls us to interact. And then it goes also to now give the principles even for those that are superiors. How do you deal with those that are below you? You know, how do you work with them? How do you encourage them? You know, how do you see that you know that you too have a judge? So there is a balance. That is a place for justice. And one of the things that we know that is dear to the heart of God is His justice. God hates oppression. God hates those that oppress others, those that speak, you know, in ways that are not glorifying God to others. And so all these are things that God shows us that at the end of the day, there is no favorites with Him. God does not distinguish between slave or free, master or, you know, or that subservient. God balances. God is a judge of all, be it between parents and children, be it between husband and wife. At the end of the day, God is the ultimate judge, and He's able to either intervene, He's able to bless, He's so able to correct certain aspects that are not right. So now when we understand, you know, when we understand Christian living, you know, when and if you just go back to how we've started, you know, the book of Ephesians, you can see that Paul starts with the spiritual blessing, starts with telling the church, you know, where they are in Christ, where they are seated with Christ in heavenly places, you know, how they are raised up with Christ, how much power that God has given the church, how God can fill them with the Spirit of God. Then now he tells them, once you are seated with Christ, once you know your authority, then now he brings you to the next step where it is to walk, how you live that Christian life, how you block everything that hinders you from being an effective carrier of the presence of God and an effective carrier of the power of God. And then now when you have blocked all those footholds that the enemy can give, be it anger, be it fighting, be it malice, be it how you interact with your, you know, with your colleagues, with your superiors, you know, how to walk in the Spirit, how to know the works of the flesh, you know, how to know the works of the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit. Now, when you understand that, then now he now takes you to the third level, which is now to fight. And this is something that you must understand, that the people who move into spiritual warfare, into the level of the fight, without first knowing who they are in Christ, without first being fully convinced of what God has done through Christ for them, the authority that they've been given, how they are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities, all powers, all thrones, all dominions. When you don't know where you are, you don't know who you are, then you are not living walking according to the dictates, according to the principles of Christ, you know, you're not faithful to God, then now you go into the fight. And where is the fight? Where we need to be strong in the Lord. Now, anyone that moves into the fight without being established, you know, in truth, without being established in the Word of God, without being established in the principles of God, ends up that they find themselves to be casualties. And sadly, with spiritual warfare, we are all in a war. You know, whether we like it or not, whether we are ignorant of it or not, there is a war. Why? Because you crossed over from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. God translated you over. So in the translation, then you become an enemy. And that's why some people would say, oh, everything was okay for me before I turned to this Christianity. But now that I've turned to it, it seems everything is not working. Why? Because when you turned over, you declared yourself an enemy. You know, you declared yourself an enemy of God. And so just for you to, I mean, just to understand that when we now switch into now the understandings of spiritual warfare, when it now says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, to put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So you can see there is already a basis that which you are prepared as a church, as a body of Christ, before now you are able to be effective in war. Remember, we are kingdom citizens. God has established us to expand his kingdom, and kingdoms run on territory. Kingdoms run on expansion. Now, if we are going to be effective, then you must first know who you are. Then you must first walk according to Christ, according to the obedience of Christ. Like, you must be obedient in all things. Remember, the Bible tells us that God is ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. Now, after that, then now he says, now put on the full armor of God so that you can be able to stand. Those that are able to stand against the plans of the enemy, against the schemes of darkness, against the tricks of the enemy, are those that have been able to first sit with Christ, then to walk according to that life, according to that calling that God has called them. Then they are able to stand and fight. God has called us to know that we are here to expand his territory. We are now soldiers. We are now foot soldiers of God, and we have our responsibility. But then if you look at the wordings and the way it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, or and in his mighty power, it shifts away the focus from that strength coming from you. It's just like if you are joined to someone, and let's say you're going to, you know, you're in a joint case, and or in a marriage, or just when you are joined to someone that is stronger to you, your team can win. Like, let's say you're giving an assignment and you have one of the smartest persons in your group. You are very sure that when the outcome of your work comes, you're going to pass, not really because you in yourself have that strength, but because of the person that is in your team. Now, when you know that you are joined to the Lord, remember, we are seated with Christ, we are raised up with him, we are forgiven in him, we are sat with him in heavenly places, then we know that the power does not belong to me, the power does not belong to man, but the power belongs to God. It is, you are strong in the Lord. That means when you're outside of the Lord, then you have no power of your own. You have no ability, no miracles of your own. You have no wisdom of your own. You have no capacity to, you know, to change anything on your own power. anyone that humbles himself, anyone that takes the glory back to Christ, gives the glory back to God. You can think of Daniel. Daniel was wise. He was brought to interpret the dreams, and he says, it is only God that knows the secrets of men. It's only God that rules over the affairs of men. It's only God that is able to reveal this to you. I am just his servant. That means that they understand that all that we have, every blessing that we have, does not come from us. It does not come from us. It comes from the Lord. Every spiritual blessing and treasure that you have as of today has not come because you are wise, has not come because you've been, I don't know, the most handsome or the most tallest. Everything that we have had comes because of our union with Christ. Remember, the book of Ephesians emphasizes of our union with Christ. Just because we have taken up the yoke of Christ, it says, take my yoke and learn of me, because I am humble and gentle in spirit, and my burden is light. You know, when you carry the load with Christ, he is the one that carries the load for us. Our job is to attach ourselves to him. He's the one that fights for us. He's the one that is our strength. You know, might and strength does not come from horses. David discovered this. He said that some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in our God. You must constantly know the source of your strength. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it, that it is not, you know, your capacity to write proposals. It is not your, you know, who you have in what place that makes the difference, but it is God. Because at times God brings us to the end of our road. He must get to the place where you surrender and submit and know that it is only God that I need. If God does not come in, then we are finished. This is where every man that feels they are strong has to get to, because God will never share his glory with any man. You know, once you understand this, then once God has broken you to that point, that you know without a shadow of doubt, that it is only God. Your speaking is only God. Your ministry is only God. Your workplace is only God. Your abilities are only God. You know, then that is when you are someone that is an effective kingdom agent. Well, that is someone that is able to fight. That is someone that is able to stand against the tricks of the devil, against the wiles of the devil. And even as God will help us, we'll be able to look and see what are these elements of darkness that we wrestle against. And, you know, the Bible is keen. There are keywords there. We wrestle. There are things that we do corporately. There are things that we do as families. There are things that we agree, you know, as couples, that we hold hands together and say, this one is a we fight. That whatsoever you agree to on earth, touching hands over anything, that it shall be done for you. So I'll stop here for today, and I pray that God will give us grace, understanding, and wisdom in all this. You are welcome to reflect as God leads you.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel, for a great reminder. Indeed, we pray for God's grace to continue guiding us to live a life that reflects his will and his teaching. I think the message has been really clear, that if we are united in Christ, we should live as such. And it is worth reflecting on some of the things that we do as Christians. It is totally opposite of our claim, opposite of our faith, opposite of all that we confess. We just need to reflect on those words and try to see, by the grace of God, how to marry our deeds with our confessions of Christ as our Lord. So yeah, with that, I will just leave it at that. The message is quite clear.
Okay, any reflections? Okay, if no additions, we can pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. We thank you for your word, that you call us to walk in truth, to walk according to the truth of the gospel, according to what you have accomplished us in Christ, for us in Christ, and to know that we are united with you. And based on our union, it gives us the authority, gives us the ability to live a righteous life. It also gives us the ability to have godly interactions, godly relationships within our families, with our relatives, with our children, within our workplaces. That God, you are in complete totality, oh God. You want the total human being that reflects Christ, that sees things from the perspectives of Christ. So thank you that, Lord, even you grant us wisdom for life, that indeed we do not give the enemy a foothold. We do not give him an empty place in our armor, that which he can strike, by which he can send forth his arrows. And I plead your mercies, oh God, in areas where we have lacked, oh God, may you show us mercy. Indeed, you are a high priest that is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. You are tempted and tested in every way, oh God. In one way or another, we have fallen short of the glory of God, and I plead your mercies that, Lord, you intervene over our lives, you forgive, you cleanse, you purify, and indeed you bring restoration to each and every one of us, oh God. I pray even for the journeys, those that are traveling, that, Lord, your presence shall be with them. Thank you for provision. Those that need your breakthrough, need healing, oh God, that, Lord, your hand touches them this morning, that, Lord, they are able to receive restoration. Indeed, you are the keeper, you are the sustainer, and you are the deliverer, oh God. We look unto you, we thank you that strength does not come from oxes and bulls, but strength comes from you. Strengthen us. In all these things, we praise you, we worship, and we adore you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Blessed, blessed day.